I just think in. I think random thoughts to myself. Sometimes they're better off in my head, but this one's going to come out. It's a lot of talk on the radio and in society about how divided we're becoming as a country since Brexit, and how divided America is looking forward to its vote on Tuesday, and how as a country we're dividing up into loads of factions. And I thought, well, that's not true this morning, is it? I think it's a real powerful witness that a congregation from Charfield and a congregation from Kingswood and a congregation from Thornbury and people from all over the place can just come together in one building because they worship one God and they think he's brilliant and he's great. And this is a real sign. This is, to me, a real sign of Christian unity. And as I look around, I can see the churches I've inflicted my talks on before, and yet still they come. And the families and the friends, you're both welcome here for this amazing day for Natalie, Molly, Jesse, and Danny. So, every day we all make decisions. You've probably made loads of decisions already before reaching this point. If you think about it, as human beings, we are amazing decision-making machines. We churn them out, scores, maybe hundreds a day, without thinking. Like, shall I get up now, or shall I lie in bed a little later on? Now, I know already from what Bertie has told me that that was a difficult decision for him this morning. But he made it here on time, so praise God for Bertie being here on time. So we make these decisions sort of every moment of every day without thinking about it. What shall I eat? What shall I wear? Shall I change my clothes now or in half an hour's time when the children come back in the church? Decisions, decisions, decisions. Most of them we make without thinking. And most of those decisions we make probably don't have a huge impact on the rest of our life. But every so often we're called upon to make big decisions. And this is the second reference to Brexit already this morning, because 4.5 months ago, all of us, or most of us, were given the choice to make. Do we stay in the EU or do we leave the EU? And I'm not going to say which way I voted or which way we should have voted or anything like that. But as a decision, that is a decision that is going to affect every single one of us in this room, for not just for weeks to come, not just for years to come, but quite possibly for the rest of our life. What a huge decision to have to take. And how difficult it may have been for some of us to make that decision, knowing that it's going to have that kind of level of impact, not just on us, but on the rest of our family. And then, of course, on Tuesday, in a couple of days' time, we have the Donald versus Hillary. Who would want to choose between those two people? I don't actually know. What a choice. So it's totally straight down the middle politically there. What a choice. But you've got to choose between, on the one hand, Donald Trump, I'm not going to say anymore, and Hillary... And Hillary Clinton, let's move on. But again, that is going to be a huge decision. If anything, that decision is going to be bigger than Brexit. Because whoever is in power in the United States of America is one of the most powerful people in the world. Putin might think that actually he's the most powerful person in the world, but whoever it is one of the most powerful people in the world. And that decision on Tuesday is going to change world events. Whoever they vote for is going to set the tone for big power politics for years to come. A huge, big decision. A decision that will change or could change the world. And when we look at how that decision could change the world and we look around at the world that we live in, most of us probably would say, well, actually, the world does need changing, doesn't it? It doesn't take us much searching to find that the world is in a terrible mess. The terrible pictures coming onto our screen from Syria day after day as Aleppo is bombed into dust and people's lives are wiped out. When we see the war in Iraq, and the coalition that's trying to drive out ISIL. When we see the war in Yemen, when we see the starving people on our screens, the world is a complete and utter mess. Which one of us, if we were given the power and the authority to do so, wouldn't click our fingers and change the world and change all of those situations if we had the power to do so? Inequalities in the way the world economy works and corruption in world economies drive economic migration. People searching for a better life. whatever the press say about them, if you're living in a country where poverty is absolutely desperate and you don't know where your next meal is coming from and you see a better land somewhere else, why wouldn't you want to go and live somewhere else to end your suffering, your starvation and your disease? And I'm conscious that with a world like this, when people like us talk to people about God who don't know him as Saviour and Lord of their life, it's very easy for them to point the finger at God and point the finger at us and say, well, why doesn't your God end the wars in the world? You talk about how poverty and climate change are having such a desperate effect on people throughout the world. Why doesn't your God change that? Why doesn't your God stop suffering and starvation? Surely there cannot be a God when the world is in a mess like this. But my question is this. Why are people so quick to point their finger at God when it's not the way that God created the world? And it's not him that messed it up like this. It's us as human beings. It's about time that as human beings we stood up and we took responsibility for the mess that we are making of God's world. It's not his fault. Don't point the finger at him. We point the finger at ourselves. It's us that have messed things up by not living his way. Which raises a big question, doesn't it? So what can be done about it? Well, you see, there is another way to live. And that way is the Jesus way. That way is following him. If we messed up God's creation by not following the way that God designed it to be, by not being in love with him and following him every step of the day, by not taking care of the creation that he's made, but instead just kind of ripping it to pieces for our own satisfaction and our own pleasure, then the way to do something about that is to go back to following him again. To live the way that Jesus wants us to live. To follow his teachings and with him by his Holy Spirit in our heart to make a difference in this world. We are the ones who can be the agents of change in this place. And we are the agents of change in this place when we invite Jesus not just to be our Saviour and to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for, I'll take that gift, that's great, you know, I love having gifts and you're my Saviour and you've changed my life, that's fantastic. But when we take that one step further, which is what those being baptised are doing this morning, and say, I accept you as Lord of my life. And when you accept Jesus as Lord of your life, that is a completely different thing. That's not just taking salvation from God, that's giving yourself back to him and saying, you're Lord of my life. That means you're Lord of everything I think, everything I do, my house, my car, my family, my money, everything else is yours. And I want to live my life according to your lordship in my life. That is the way that we can change. And that is the way that we can change the world. Little by little, bit by bit, every single person who comes to know Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life and starts to follow his teaching has a positive impact on the world and starts to live the way that God designed us to live. In Matthew 4, Jesus, there's this story about Jesus. One day, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So Peter and Andrew were the first disciples recorded in Matthew that Jesus called to him. There they were in their daily life, going about their business, doing what they probably did every day. They were fishermen, so they were fishing. They were earning their living. And then along came Jesus and said, come and follow me. What a decision that Peter and Andrew had to make. They could carry on living their life the way they'd always lived their life. They could carry on living in their home. They could carry on fishing. They could carry on earning what was probably a very decent living as a fisherman. And nothing would change in their world. Or they could turn their life completely upside down and follow Jesus. And they decided to follow Jesus. Now just think about that for a moment. If that was you in that situation, you would be choosing to leave your home behind, to go walk about with Jesus as he ministered on this earth. You would be leaving behind your boat and your fishing net and your way of earning money. You would be following Jesus wherever he went. You would be leaving your town and your friends behind. It was a big decision to make. And yet Peter and Andrew, it seems, did it without a blink in the eye. Peter and Andrew seemed to say, yes, there's something in this man and I'm going to follow you, just like that. Just as you decided to get out of bed this morning and brush your teeth. A huge, life-changing decision that they took. Which brings us on to Jesse, Molly, Nat and Danny. To my knowledge, neither of them are fishermen, but perhaps I don't know them well enough. But they're being baptised today because they are just like Peter and Andrew. They're being baptised today because they have decided to leave their old life behind and to enter into the new life that Jesus gives. They're being baptised today because they want to say, I'm not just accepting Jesus as Saviour, but I'm accepting him as Lord of my life. And whatever he has in store for me from this day forward is got to be good. That whatever he has in store for me, I'm going to be on board 100%. And I'm going to follow what he asked me to do. I'm going to live my life the way that Jesus teaches me to live my life. And I'm going to be in this for the rest of my life and in fact for eternity. They have taken the same decision that Peter and Andrew took. They're going to follow the way of Jesus and be his disciples. I would suggest that for them, this is the biggest decision that they've ever taken or will take in their life. And I know some of them are trying to decide which uni to go to, or what, whether to go to uni at all, or to go to Bible college, or whatever it happens to be. That's not the biggest decision of their life. The biggest decision of their life is that they've decided to be disciples of Jesus. And because of that, you've got four people who are going to help to change the world for better. Because of that, you've got four people who are going to live the Jesus way. Because of that, you've got four people who are going to get stirred up by the fact that there's poverty and injustice and starvation and climate change and wars in the world. And they're going to do what they can to change it in the name of Jesus. They're not going to be able to click their fingers and make everything all right. But they're going to live the Jesus way. And in living the Jesus way, there's going to come times when it's going to be tough. And they're going to need support. And they're going to need support from everybody sitting in this room this morning. They're going to need my support. They're going to need your support. They're going to need your love and your support as families, as you honour this decision that they've made. Because they can't do it on their own. And I know that the church is represented here, and Tracy, the youth worker at Kingswood, and those that work in SNG and in the Sunday schools and everything else. We've been part of God bringing these people to this decision today. But it doesn't end here. We need to stand by them and stand with them for the rest of their life. So God is going to take you on an incredible journey. In fact, that journey's already begun. And it's our privilege to see what God is already doing in your life. That leads us on to baptism. I suspect many of you have seen a baptism before, but it's always worth reminding ourselves what we're doing and why we're doing it and what's going to happen. So, excuse me. So, baptism. Just a few words about baptism. This is a special day. It's a special day because Nat, Jesse, Molly and Danny have all decided to stand up in front of you lovely people and say, I want you to know that I've accepted Jesus as Saviour and Lord in my life. And I want you to share in that experience with us, because also we thank you for your support and you're going to still need to continue to support us. But it doesn't actually make them a Christian. That has already happened. There's this classic phrase that baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. This is these guys standing up saying, I've accepted Jesus as Saviour and Lord in my life. That's the reality for me. The work of the Holy Spirit has already started to change me as a person. But this is me being brave enough to to show all of you that that's the decision that I've made in my life. So it's a picture. It's a picture of something quite deep and quite spiritual and life-changing going on inside the life of each of the four people this morning. It's also a picture that's tied in with all sorts of passages in the Bible, and this is why we do it this way. So in a minute, or when it comes to it, each one of them will come into the baptism pool time by time, and they'll be totally immersed in water. So the first thing to say is, well, why do we do it like that? Well, we do it like that because the word that we use for baptism comes from baptizo in the Bible, and the meaning that we think is to fully immerse, to immerse yourself in water, to be fully covered by water. So that's why we do that. Nothing magical, but we just think that's the way that the Bible says do it. But then the Bible talks about baptism being a picture of something else. And this is a picture. It's a picture of a number of things. So as they walk into the pool, and don't worry, you'll see it all on the screen when the time comes. When they walk into the pool, it's a picture of them leaving their old life behind. Now, when I say that, I don't want you to get worried, particularly mums and dads and family in here. When we say leaving your old life behind, we honour everything that as a family you have put into the life of these children. So we're not saying, you know, forget all of that sort of stuff. We honour you as mums and dads and what you have done. So when we say leaving your old life behind, we're saying we're leaving behind your life lived that wasn't for Jesus. The way you used to make your decisions before weren't decisions made with Jesus in mind. They were decisions made on your own, or maybe with somebody else helping you make those decisions. You're leaving behind your past, in the sense of you're leaving behind the sin of the past and the things that you've done wrong and the fact that you've lived your life without Jesus in your life. So I just want to make that clear, that when we say leaving your old life behind, it's what you're leaving behind that's important. Then as they come into the pool, we would ask them a few words just to confess their faith, and then we'll baptise them and dunk them in the water and hopefully bring them up again not too long afterwards. Now that could be a picture of a couple of things, because the Bible talks about a couple of things. The Bible talks about being washed clean, having that new start, that Jesus, when you accept him as Lord and Saviour for your life, washes you clean. All the things that binded you to the past, all the hurts, all the pains, all the chains, all the sin, is just washed clean and washed away from you. It's a picture of that new life, of being washed clean. The other side is that the Bible does say, equates it to death. Now again, perhaps a word of explanation, it's death to your old way of living, is what we're talking about there. And then when they come out of the pool again, it's a sign and a picture of entering into the new life that Jesus has given for them and has got for them. The Bible says we are a new creation. We have been made new. We start again. We start fresh. It's like having the factory default reset button pressed on your computer, if you do that these days. You know, God has put you right. He's put you back to the way he made you so that you can live your life for him. In a simple kind of illustration, that's what's going to happen in baptism.